الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد حي على السلام حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون ولا تكونوا كالذين نسوا الله فأنساهم أنفسهم أولئك هم الفاسقون
ان آیات کا ترجمہ ہے کہ اے وہ لوگو جو ایمان لائے ہو اللہ کا تقوی اختیار کرو اور ہر جان یہ نظر رکھے.
Hazur says that the translation of these verses is, O ye who believe, fear Allah and let every soul look to what it sends forth for the morrow. And fear Allah. Verily, Allah is well aware of what you do. And be not like those who forgot Allah, and whom He has consequently caused to forget their own souls. It is they that are the rebellious. Allah the Almighty has placed the basic condition for a mu'min, for a believer, of taqwa. In this respect, there are countless verses in the Holy Quran which inculcate to adopt taqwa and to uphold taqwa. Allah the Almighty has admonished this in so many ways, and various commandments in this regard have been imparted. Those who follow these commands, those who tread on the path of taqwa, are called muttaqi, that is, one who follows taqwa. Those who do not follow these commands have been warned about their ending. What is taqwa? In so many words, the summary of taqwa that we find or can be deciphered from the Holy Quran can be taken as the following. It is to give precedence to the pleasure of Allah the Almighty over everything else. It is to consider Allah the Almighty as one, incomparable, and the source of all powers. It is to discharge the rights due to God, and it is, in order to acquire His pleasure, to also discharge the rights due to God's creation. In one place, the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, has explained this as follows. It is obvious that to be mindful of the trusts of God Almighty and to fulfill all the covenants of faith and to employ all faculties and limbs, both overt, like the eyes, the ears, the hands and the feet, and others like them, and also those that are covert, like the mind and other faculties and qualities, to employ them on their proper occasions and to restrain them from coming into action on improper occasions, and to be warned against the subtle attacks of vice, and to be mindful of the rights of one's fellow beings. This is the way through which one's spiritual beauty is completely perfected. Thus, this is that standard that the promised Messiah alayhi salam has expounded and which he expected from us. A few Friday sermons ago also, I drew attention towards fulfilling one's trusts and covenants, that this was related to the faith. This was mentioned with reference to the office holders. Today, I shall explain this further. Today, amongst those who believe, Ahmadis are those fortunate people whose attention have been drawn in such minute and fine detail towards establishing a connection with Allah. It is a favor of the promised Messiah alayhi salam upon us that he has so evidently and clearly shown us and taught us the paths of the highest standards through which a believer can obtain nearness to Allah. Undoubtedly, every single person's standard of piety, standard of insight, standard of knowledge, and standard of perception or understanding is different. Everyone cannot be equal in these respects. So thus, everyone has been commanded that to the maximum extent of your capacities and abilities, you should strive to fulfill your pledges to Allah the Almighty and to discharge the trusts upon you. Each believer who remains focused upon obtaining this pinnacle of the highest standard will be counted amongst those who tread on the path of taqwa. There is the question of the use of our hands, feet, eyes, and ears. We have been commanded to utilize them in the proper manner. It is obligatory to desist from performing those acts which Allah the Almighty has forbidden. The use of the overt body parts is not only for the discharging of the rights due to creation. That it is only commanded that with respect to these parts, you should discharge the right due to the creation. Or it is not that you will only be questioned with respect to the use of these body parts for the sake of discharging the rights due to God's creation. In fact, there are many things that we do which have no direct link with your fellow beings. Those endeavors neither cause harm or give benefit to others. If we reflect over this deeply, we realize that one brings benefit or harm to one's own self through various actions. Yet God has either enjoined them or forbidden them. By performing those acts which Allah the Almighty has forbidden, he would trespass the boundaries set by Allah. In this respect, one would be breaking the rights due to God. And by not performing those acts which Allah the Almighty has enjoined, he would become one who is disobedient to Allah. Thus, by performing any act contrary to the commands of God, or by not performing an act enjoined by Him, by breaking the boundaries set by Allah, a person becomes distant from taqwa. As such a person becomes distant from taqwa, he falls deeper into the lap of Satan. It is for this reason that the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam on whom be peace has stated that it is not that a believer should only desist from acting contrary to the will of God. Rather, a person should be fully aware and alert of the attacks of Satan upon him. One should always be vigilant towards the satanic attacks, lest it falls upon him. Further, after ascertaining this awareness of the satanic attacks, he should save himself from the concealed and covert attacks of Satan. Satan's attacks take different forms and different ways. There are some modern inventions which can inflict self-harm upon a person. Rather than utilize them for their good aspects, they are being utilized in such ways where there is a danger of satanic attacks or where attacks of Satan do occur. In such instances, they distance a person from the worship of God and have a negative impact upon his morals. A person may apparently believe that these are my personal matters. What is it to everyone if I play? Or if I watch films on the internet till late night? Or I watch other movies or do other such things? Or that a person does anything else which is wrong, amongst the many such things? In his presumption, he believes that it should be no one else's business, because it does not directly harm or cause pain to anyone. However, something which is wrong, which is contrary to the will and pleasure of Allah the Almighty, also distances him from the worship of God, as it does from discharging the rights due to God and discharging the rights due to his fellow beings. In these countries, alcohol, gambling, the internet, lewd, filthy and useless films, and inappropriate friendships, where on the one hand they destroy and break up families, there on the other hand it also takes youngsters upon the wrong path. By doing so, it removes one from believing in the existence of God and from having faith, and makes them poisonous for the society. They become a permanent disease. Thus Allah the Almighty states that your every limb, your every thought should be in accordance with the pleasure of Allah the Almighty. It should be used on the proper occasion also. This will enhance you in taqwa. If you act in a manner opposite to this, it will throw you into the lap of Satan. And one who falls into the lap of Satan most certainly will be amongst those who incur harm. In these verses, the translation of which you have already heard, Allah the Almighty states to adopt taqwa, that O ye who believe, fear Allah. This world, its glitz and glamour and attractions, its comforts and luxuries should not be your ultimate goal. In fact, you should look to what actions you have performed to try and acquire the pleasure of Allah. It is only the actions that you perform for the sake of Allah's pleasure which will come to use in the hereafter, or which can come of use in the world to come. All the attractions, delights, enjoyments and comforts of the world will remain behind in this world. So thus go on assessing and analyzing your own selves, because the root of sin is that a person becomes negligent of his actions. He forgets Allah the Almighty. Thus, if you want to receive the blessings and rewards of Allah the Almighty in the eternal life of the hereafter, then come to have perfect and complete belief in Allah the Almighty and search for the paths of His pleasure. There is a need to realize your purpose of creation. The first verse that I recited is amongst the verses that are recited at the time of Nikah, the Islamic pronouncement of marriage. In it, where on the one hand, Allah the Almighty Himself is drawing attention towards the hereafter. There on the other hand, it also draws attention towards the moral training of the future generations who will be born, and towards drawing their attention towards progressing in taqwa rather than in worldly affairs. This is what has been guided in these verses, which particularly is amongst one of the verses recited at the time of the nikah. This is for the reason that progeny who are pious, who strive to acquire the pleasure of Allah the Almighty, where on the one hand they will cater for their life in the hereafter, there on the other hand, the actions of the pious progeny, the prayers of the pious progeny, in terms of the prayers that they make for their parents. This will become a means of elevating the status and rank of the parents in the hereafter. Therefore, Allah the Almighty states that at the time of your marriage, remember this, that the world and all the comforts, luxuries, delights, and enjoyments of the world are temporary. Marriage and worldly union are also all temporary enjoyments. The real pleasure lies in the pleasure of Allah the Almighty, which is received also in this world, and its fruits are also enjoyed by a believer in the world to come. So therefore, a believer has been repeatedly inculcated and warned by Allah the Almighty in different ways, that never forget God, remain firm upon taqwa, perform such acts which cater for your life in this world and for your life in the hereafter. You should become one who acquires the pleasure of Allah the Almighty in this life and also in the life to come. And remember that Allah the Almighty is fully aware of all your actions. Even the smallest and most trivial acts of man are not hidden or concealed from Allah. All your actions and deeds are being accounted for. For this reason, there is a great need for man to tread carefully and delicately in this life. It is insufficient to just believe and to claim to have faith. In fact, it is imperative to search for the paths of taqwa and then to tread and act upon them. In a gathering, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, stated, "In Islam, real life requires a death, which is bitter. Yet one who accepts it is the one who ultimately gains life. It is mentioned in the Hadith that man considers worldly desires and pleasures as his paradise, although they are like hell. A pious person accepts difficulties in the way of God, and that alone is paradise. There is no doubt that the world is finite, and everyone has been born to die. Ultimately, a time comes when all friends, associates, and dear ones are separated. At such a time, all the inappropriate happiness and pleasures that are considered as delight materialize as bitterness. True well-being and happiness cannot be attained without taqwa. And abiding by taqwa is like drinking a cup of poison." In other words, apparently it is a work which is extremely difficult. However, for a muttaqi, for a righteous person, Allah the Almighty provides all the means of happiness. But when one adopts taqwa, Allah the Almighty provides him with all manners of happiness. Allah the Almighty states, "مَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ." Thus, the underlying principle of well-being is taqwa. However, to attain taqwa, we should not set conditions. Once taqwa is adopted, one gets what he asks for. God Almighty is ever merciful and generous. Adopt taqwa, he will give you what you wish. In other words, one should not place conditions that only if Allah gives us this and this will we perform pieties. In fact, one should perform good deeds, he should adopt righteousness and taqwa, he should adopt nearness to Allah the Almighty, then he will establish such a connection with God that he will get what he asks for. Through treading on the path of taqwa, a person can attain all manners of blessings and rewards of Allah the Almighty, and he does become into such a recipient. However, we would need to also constantly self-reflect and self-analyze that we have made a pledge to give precedence to our faith over the world. We have done this in this age after taking the pledge of allegiance at the hands of the promised Messiah alayhi salam. We have made a pledge to tread on the path of taqwa. Thus, we would have to conform our words with our deeds. In one place, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam states, "The passage of taqwa is extremely difficult. Only that person can pass through it who completely abide by God Almighty's will and does whatever he wants and does not follow his own preferences. Nothing can be availed from pretense." Taqwa is not something that can be ascertained from pretense. This can never occur. This is why what is needed is Allah's blessings. This can only be achieved if on the one hand one prays and on the other hand he makes efforts. God Almighty has enjoined both prayer and making efforts. Then the promised Messiah alayhi salam states, "No one can be pure unless God Almighty purifies him." When the very soul of a person falls on God's door with humility and meekness, God Almighty will accept his prayer, and that person will be a muttaqi, a righteous person, and he'll be worthy of understanding the religion of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Adopt humbleness and humility. This requires the grace and blessings of Allah. When this comes to pass, this will be achieved. When this is ascertained, one will attain taqwa. When taqwa is obtained, it is then that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's religion, that is Islam, can be understood. The promised Messiah states, "Otherwise, whatever proclamations about religion he makes and his worship and so on is of customary or superficial nature. They are just ways of thinking that he follows by merely emulating his forefathers. That his forefathers were doing this. He is born in a Muslim household, in an Ahmadi household, that he is an Ahmadi Muslim, and thus he just continues this in a customary way. This is not the reality. The reality is taqwa. Taqwa is only obtained through efforts and through actions. It is through adopting humbleness and humility. It is obtained through prayers. The promised Messiah alayhi salam states that by only following it because of his forefathers does not mean that he has any reality or spirituality within. To just follow something does not create spirituality within. Then the promised Messiah alayhi salam states, "Attain taqwa because it is taqwa which is followed by God Almighty's blessings, and he is saved from the tribulations of the world." With the grace of the Almighty Allah, as a community, there may indeed be countless and innumerable blessings that we see falling upon the Jamaat. We also experience the progress of the Jamaat. Further, we observe the special treatment of God with the community, in a manner that despite extremely adverse and unfavorable circumstances, Allah the Almighty saves the Jamaat from the clutches of the enemies. A good proportion of the Jamaat undoubtedly treads on the path of taqwa and do attain the pleasure of Allah the Almighty. However, we should endeavor that after coming into the Pledge of Allegiance of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, each and every single one of us should achieve that standard of taqwa, that every single one of us should acquire that nearness to Allah the Almighty that behoves a true Muslim, and also which the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam expected from us. What is that? It is only that we always remember God. Allah, the Almighty, states that if you fail to remember God, you will not cause Him any harm. Allah will not incur any loss. Indeed, this negligence will cause you harm. People who forget God are weak in faith. Their faith is imperfect. They fail to remember that they have to one day present themselves before God. It is for this reason that they start to perform such deeds and acts through which their moral and spiritual state degenerates and begins to decline. The world begins to take precedence over the faith, rather than the faith taking precedence to the world. How Allah the Almighty treats such worldly people in the hereafter is known to Allah. However, even in this very life, as a result of their excessive indulgence in the world, their inner peace is shattered. We observe some people who, as a result of just minor financial loss, become so broken down that they are incapable of doing anything. Thus, Allah the Almighty states that if you claim to believe, but you do not make practical efforts to tread on the path of taqwa, that is, alongside with this claim to having faith, you are not giving attention towards discharging the rights due to God and to His creation, then this would make palpable and blatant that your faith in Allah the Almighty is incomplete. When there is deficiency in the faith, yet one is not giving due regard towards reformation and reconciling it, then your life would be a life of unrest. This is not all. Such a person would also be counted amongst the fasiq. The meaning of fasiq here would entail one who pledges to abide by the commands of the Sharia, but he violates some or all of those commands. If we look into other places of the Holy Quran in their light, this would also mean to be ungrateful to the divine graces and blessings, and thus to be out of the fold of obedience. Or that one who is ungrateful to the blessings and rewards of Allah the Almighty will be deemed to be out of the fold of obedience. In this way, he will be counted amongst the fasiq, or those who are a bad character. By performing the bid, the pledge of allegiance of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, we have pledged that we will give precedence to our faith over the world. Whatever the circumstances may be, we have promised to never forget the commands of Allah, whatever the circumstances. Secondly, it is the favor of Allah the Almighty upon an Ahmadi, that He has given us a share of that blessings, which to further the mission of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and for the revival of Islam, was sent by Allah in the shape of the Holy Promised Messiah, on whom be peace. Amongst the blessings of Allah the Almighty, the greatest blessing is that of Nabuwwat, prophethood. In this respect, we see a strange contradiction amongst the Muslims. On the one hand, they pray, yet on the other, they reject it. It is a favor of Allah the Almighty upon us that we are fortunate that He has enabled us to accept this blessing, which in servitude to the Holy Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was the blessings which would emanate as a result of his following. We are enabled to be those people who are partaking from this blessing. We can partake of this blessing, and we can extend gratitude for this blessing only then in the true sense and in reality, when we follow the commands of the promised Messiah alayhi salam and we fulfill his expectations and make efforts to this effect. Otherwise, we would be those who forget Allah the Almighty and those who fall deeper in negligence. Subsequently, we will incur the anger of Allah the Almighty. We should always remember that the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, in servitude to his master, the Holy Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, came for the establishment of Tawheed, the unity of Allah, and to prove the existence of God. True taqwa also is established when one has perfect and complete conviction and belief in the oneness of Allah, and the pleasure of Allah becomes his sole objective, and one becomes completely immersed and lost in the oneness of God. When this is realized, true taqwa is developed within a person. In one place, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam states, Tawheed does not only signify that one utters the words La ilaha illallah, that is, there is none worthy of worship except Allah, that one just utters the words La ilaha illallah while having thousands of idols within his heart. In fact, a person who gives any of his own work, deceives or tricks or schemes godlike importance, or relies on a person as only God should be relied on, or gives his own self that significance which should only be given to God the Almighty, in all such instances, he will be deemed an idolater. Idols are not just those which are made with gold, silver, copper, or stone, and are relied on. Rather, everything, word or deed, which is given the importance and significance that is God's right, is an idol in God's sight. The promised Messiah alayhi salam states, Remember the true unity of God, the affirmation of which is demanded by God, and upon which salvation depends, is to believe that God, in His being, is free from every single associate, whether it is an idol, or a human being, or the sun, or the moon, or one's ego, or one's cunning, or one's deceit, and to conceive of no one as possessing power in opposition to him, nor to accept anyone as sustainer, nor to hold anyone as bestowing honor or disgrace. In other words, always remember that Allah the Almighty is above everything. Nothing in the world, every honor and every disgrace given to a person is also in the hands of God. No one can bestow honor on a person, nor can he humiliate anyone. So thus, this is the true essence of Tawheed, the oneness of God, that the one to bestow honor and the one to humiliate others is only Allah the Almighty. He alone bestows honor upon a person, or if he does something wrong, he also humiliates or disgraces him. The promised Messiah says further, nor to consider anyone as helper or assistant, that there should be no other helper apart from God. And the promised Messiah says, and to confine one's love to him, and one's worship to him, and one's humility to him. Regarding some people who submit to God, the promised Messiah says, no, all types of humiliation should be put before God. The promised Messiah says further, and one's hope to him, and one's fear to him. No unity can be complete without the following three types of particularization. First, there is the unity of being. That is to say, to conceive the whole universe as non-existent in contrast with him. That is, there is no reality in him, and to consider it mortal and lacking reality. That is, everything is finite and will perish and thus has no reality in essence. It has no significance. The promised Messiah says, secondly, it is unity in terms of attributes. That is to say, the Rububiyat and Godhead are confined to His being and no one else. God the Almighty is also the Sustainer, and He alone is worthy of being worshipped. Are confined to His being that all others who appear as sustainers or benefactors, that is, man has been made a means to provide help. He also becomes a mean to sustain and provide. So he says that to only consider them a part of the system set up by His hand. Thus it is to understand that this is the system of God. Man has been made a means of that system. It should not be considered that man is the master. The real master is God. People are just a means. Thirdly, the unity of love and sincerity and devotion. That is to say, not to consider anyone as an associate of God in the matter of love and worship, and to be entirely lost in Him. That is, in the matter of love and worship, and to be entirely lost in Him. This means that in terms of worship and love, no one should be considered as an associate, and one should be lost in this. So thus it is not only to consider no one as an associate of God, rather it is also to fully immerse oneself and lose oneself in the being and existence of God. Thus these are those aspects, when found in a believer, he can be deemed to be one who fulfills the right of remembering God. He can be called one who treads on the path of taqwa. Regarding the excellences of taqwa, the Promised Messiah alayhi salam says in one place, excellence of taqwa is this alone, that man's own being ceases to be. He says, and in reality this alone is tawheed. When man obtains this excellence, that nothing remains of him, he loses himself in the being of God Almighty. Then the excellence of taqwa is this, and this in reality is the unity of God. When one achieves this standard, he can be called one who truly believes in the true Tawheed, the oneness of God. So thus to give precedence to the being of God over all else is taqwa, and this is what is meant by remaining firm on the unity of God, on Tawheed. May Allah the Almighty enable us to achieve this standard. Be going on a tour, please pray that Allah the Almighty blesses this in every respect.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله.
میں سفر پہ بھی جا رہا ہوں, دعا کریں اللہ تعالیٰ اس کو ہر لحاظ سے برکت فرمائے.
عباد اللہ رحمکم اللہ, ان اللہ یامر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذی القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.